Our study tonight in our series on serving the Lord by means of the Holy Spirit is on description of the spiritual gifts. Every believer has been equipped by the Holy Spirit for Christian service with a supernatural enabling called a spiritual gift, what translates the Greek word charisma. However, many believers are not sure what their gift is nor how to begin to use it effectively, so we view Scripture on the descriptions of the various spiritual gifts for our insight, our application, and edification. Since this is a theological study, we're going to be all over the map when it comes to Scripture, but I'd like to read just one of the passages that deal with the gifts themselves before we start. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. For I say through the grace given to me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think sensibly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Romans 12, verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then spiritual gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion or analogy of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that rules, or a person who's in administration, with diligence, he that shows mercy, with cheerfulness. All right. Some of the spiritual gifts were temporal, meaning that God no longer gives them to believers today. And this is an important subject because this is where we differ with our charismatic brethren. They believe that a lot of these gifts are for today, and we don't, and here's why. We know from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, that some of the spiritual gifts were meant only for the early church. The author of Hebrews charged his readers to heed the truth that had been handed down to them from those who heard Jesus in his earthly ministry, for that truth had been validated by signs and wonders, miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit that God had given to that first generation of believers. That's Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 and verse 4. Now, since the author of Hebrews would have made his argument much stronger by referring to miracles that would still have existed in the church, his reliance on the miracles shown by Christ's initial believers and not to any in his era implies that those gifts had already ceased to exist by the time the book of Hebrews was written. The Hebrews book would have been written probably by the second generation of believers. So that's very early that the sign gifts are passing off the scene. Now, there's also an Old Testament precedent for temporary sign gifts. When the Holy Spirit came upon the elders of Israel in Numbers chapter 11, verse 25, and this is both in the English Standard and the New International Versions, which translate the Hebrew text properly, they initially prophesied, but they never did it again. Interesting. It was a sign gift. Their prophesying was a sign gift that they had the Holy Spirit, but they didn't prophesy again, ever. So there's a precedence for these gifts just to be signs. So now we're going to name those temporary gifts and explain why God has ceased to give each one of them to us today. Apostleship. Apostleship was needed to lay the foundation for the early church, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. And an apostle needed to have seen the Lord. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. In fact, that's one of the hallmark or qualifications of an elder, of an apostle. He had to have seen God, the Lord Jesus, and been assigned by him. So this gift ceased with the passing of the initial apostles. Prophecy was the gift perfectly to predict future events. The reason I say perfectly is because in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 21 to 22, Moses gave the test of a prophet. A prophet was one who would foretell the future perfectly. If anything a so-called prophet said did not come true, he was a false prophet automatically. So the batting average of a true prophet is 1,000, not 999, 998 or anything. It's 1,000. You have to be absolutely accurate. So that was needed to guide the church when the scripture canon was not complete. With the close of the canon and all seven eras of church history being predicted with God's comments by apostolic authority on each era in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, Scripture now is the only source of God's revelation that is needed for the church. That's 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17. So prophecy has ceased. We don't need prophecy, and so God doesn't give the prophecy. What he wants us to do is to be in our Bibles, to read his Bibles, because all the information we have and that we need is there. The gifts of performing miracles and healing were given to validate the truths taught in the early church according to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. And since apostolic truth is unchanging, Jude verse 3, with the close of the canon of Scripture, no miracle worker or healer would need to exist today. So God has ceased to give those gifts of miracles. See, if God's truth were changing, you have to have miracles to validate that this is, you know, God is changing his work, but he's not doing that. According to Jude, verse 3, it says, for the faith which was once, hapax, actually once for all, delivered to the saints. God designed the truth so that when the apostles gave it, it was designed to last through the church era. It does not change. Now, there are any number of cults that they will tell you, well, the apostles did this, but God has since brought Joseph Smith along and it's changed. Or God brought Joseph Smith along to correct it because you really didn't get the full brunt of the truth from the apostles, or what's in the Bible has been corrupted and therefore it's not true, that kind of a thing. No, God gave us the truth in the apostles. It's unchanging. And so he gave miracles in the presence of the apostles. He doesn't give miracles anymore, which indicates that the truth has already been given. Otherwise, God would be providing the true miracles. The gift of tongues was the ability to speak in other Gentile languages supernaturally. In other words, without any pre-practice. And this fulfilled the Mosaic covenant at Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 49, where God said as a sign of judgment to Israel, he'd be speaking to them in Gentile languages. And, of course, when they started speaking in Gentile languages, the Jews wanted to know, what does this mean? And Peter preaches, he says, this is judgment. You put the Messiah on the cross, so you better repent. And they got scared in a hurry, and they repented, 3,000 people that day. So it was designed to be a judgment sign to Israel. So it was a sign to Israel that the church was of God. Now, with the AD 70 fall of Jerusalem, this gift would no longer need to exist since God then ceased working with Israel. You know, he won't start working with Israel again until you have the Great Tribulation or after the rapture of the church. And guess what? Church history validates this. Church Father Chrysostom, a 4th century theologian, testified that tongues had ceased so long before his time that no one was certain of their characteristics. Now, you have a 4th century theologian, 4th century, he'd been to 300 sometime, 325, 350, somewhere in there. And he said no one around even understands what this gift was. That means that gift had to stop very, very early. It would make sense that God would have stopped it by 70 A.D. or A.D. 70. And this is, Thomas Edgar wrote this in The Cessation of the Sign Gifts. Bibliotheca Sacra. Bibliotheca Sacra is the scholarly journal that's published by Dallas Seminary right now. Now, spiritual gifts we have today include the following list of gifts, and we explain the characteristics of each one. Now, not all the gifts are mentioned. For example, interpreting tongues isn't mentioned, I think, but that would be more of a minor one. You can associate that with the tongues. But anyway, these are the major ones. The ability to evangelize the unsaved exists in some believers today. That's a gift that's mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. The ability to be a pastor and a teacher, it's actually a combined, a definite article covers both pastor teacher, of a local assembly exists today. This includes the capacity to teach the word of God and to guide God's people in the application of Scripture to their lives. That's a pastor teacher gift. Now, there's the gift of ministering or serving. Actually, it's the gift of helps that exists today, according to Romans 12, 7, 1 Corinthians 12, 28, and Ephesians 4, 12. This is a very basic gift, but it is probably very much needed in local churches today. Someone has said that the gift of helps is probably the epitome of what a Christian should be, a helper, helping one another in the Lord. The gift of teaching. This is not pastor teaching, just the gift of teaching, to explain the harmony and the detail of God's revelation, can sometimes exist alone or in combination with the gift of pastoring a local church. But it is a distinct gift. It's interesting, one of our missionaries, Ken Hall, has said that he has the gift of teaching, not the gift of being a pastor teacher, but of teaching. And he's recognized that, which is a good thing. And it's good. Romans 12, 7, 1 Corinthians 12, 28, and Ephesians 4, 11. The gift of faith, that's the capacity to trust God to a very great degree. It's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. This often exists in missionaries. I've been amazed at some missionaries. They're sure they're called of the Lord to the field, and they may be going for on their second or even the third year trying to get support, but they're not facing it at all. Oh, God's going to bring it through. Then they go out in the field, and they start something completely different from anybody else, and it's a success. It's amazing. It's a gift of faith, an unusual ability to trust the Lord. Then there's the gift of exhortation, Romans 12, 8. Exhortation is positively motivating people. It also exists in some believers today. Now, exhortation can be used to kind of jar someone up if they're lazy and they get off your heels and get going, you know. But they do it in such a way that people are motivated to do it. Or it can be something that richly encourages. Someone comes along with the gift of exhortation, they can take a group of people who are discouraged, and in 5 minutes he's got them all humped up and ready to go and do the work of the Lord. It's really wonderful. Exhortation. And the gift of discerning spirits, 1 Corinthians 12, 10. It's the ability to discern true and false sources of supernatural revelation when it is being delivered in oral or written form. And it exists in some believers today. There are two believers. One was a man who was in our church at one time. He's not here now. One is a woman who still is in our church, who I'm convinced have this gift. They're very, very sharp on discernment. Then there's the gift of showing mercy, Romans 12, 8. That's helping the sick and afflicted. It exists in some believers today. I think a number of women have this. They have a unique ability to come along and help people who are hurting. The gift of giving, Romans 12, 8. That's an unusual drive to donate to the Lord, and it exists in other believers as well. Now, we're all encouraged to give unto the Lord. But there are some people who just, they thrive on this. They live to give. And they just love to give to the Lord. That's a gift. And then there's the gift of administration. That's the gift to the ability to order and to rule other believers. This exists in some believers. Romans 12, 8, 1 Corinthians 12, 28. So believers today can discern what spiritual gifts they have received from God by the word of God. So upon understanding our gift as clarified by Scripture, may we use it to serve the Lord.